Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, November the 23rd, 2016. We are going to be covering chapters 3 and 4 of the Book of Ruth. It is a four-chapter book. And I will be doing a lot of explaining of what is going on in this book. If you will bear with me, I have a problem with chronic bronchitis that has been acting up lately, and I may have to mute the mic every once in a while in order to cough. So if there are pauses in the audio, you will know what is going on. And we will proceed with getting into chapter 3 of this book. And it starts out about Naomi. So verse 1 of chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek," 1, 2, 4, 5, "a resting place," 4, 4, 9, 4, "for you, that it might be well with you?" Verse 2, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred," 41:30, "that's Modaoth, with those maidservants, with whose maidservants you were? Behold, he winnows," 2219, "barley tonight in the threshing floor." Verse 3, "Bathe yourself," 7364, "and anoint yourself," 5480, "and put your garments," 8071, "upon you," and 8071 is a wrapper or a mantle as an outer garment, and it's sometimes used as a covering for sleep. It's a very large, like a shawl, okay, very big, "and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he is finished eating and drinking." Verse 4, "And it shall be when he lies down," 7901, "that you shall know the place where he lies, and you shall go in and uncover," 1540, that's to physically uncover, that's galah, "uncover his feet and lay you down, and he will tell you," 5046, "what to do." Verse 5, "And she replied to her, all that you say to me I will do." Verse 6, "And she went down to the threshing floor and did all that her mother-in-law ordered her." Verse 7, "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was joyful," that's Yatab, 3190, "he went to lie down at the end," 7097, "of the heap of grain," 6194. "And she came secretly," 3909, "and uncovered his feet and lay down." Verse 8, "And it came to pass at midnight," that's 2677 and 3915, "that the man was startled," 2729, and that's literally started up from his sleep, "and twisted himself," 3943, and beheld a woman laying at his feet. Verse 9, and he said, Who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your humble maidservant. 5:19. Therefore, spread, 6:5, 6:6, your skirt, 3:6, 7:1, over your humble maidservant, because you are a kinsman redeemer. 13:50. Verse 3:9, you reference Ezekiel 16, verse 8. This is a formal act of espousal, spreading the skirt. And the skirt is kanaf, the extremity of a garment, a loose flowing end. Okay. Verse 10, and he said, Blessed be you of Yahweh, my daughter. You have showed more, 3190, kindness, 2:6, 1:7, at the last, 3:1:4, than at the beginning, 7:2:2:3, inasmuch as you have not gone after, 1980, and 3:10, walked after, literally, young men, 970, that is Bakur, that's a choice unmarried young man, whether poor, 1800, or rich, 6:2:2:3. Verse 11, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you say, because all of the city of my people knows that you are a virtuous woman. 2:7, 2:8. That's Kail, as ability, efficiency, strength, moral values. Verse 12, and now it is true, 5:5:1, that I am a kinsman redeemer to you. Though, 1571, there is another, 3:4:2:6, kinsman, redeemer, more closely related, 7:1:38, than I. And verse 12, you can reference Ruth 2, verse 20. Right. Verse 13. Stay here, 3:8:8:5, tonight. And in the morning it shall be, if he will act as a kinsman redeemer, that's all one word, 13:50. Good, let him act as a kinsman redeemer. But if he does not desire, 2:6:5:4, to act as a kinsman redeemer to you, then I will act as a kinsman redeemer to you, as Yahweh lives. Lie down until the morning. This is all following the Levirate law. Verse 14, and she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one man could recognize another, in other words, before dawn, when it was still dark. And he said, Do not let it be known that a woman came into the threshing floor. Okay, he was going to do this in front of the rest of Israel. Verse 15. Also, he said, Bring the cloak, 4:3:0:4, that is upon you, and hold it, 2:7:0. And when she had held it, this is a large cloak, He measured 4058, 6 measures of barley, and laid it, 7, 8, 9, 6, on her, and she went into the city. In other words, he loaded her up with freshly threshed barley. Verse 16, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who are you, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. In other words, she was surprised. She was burdened with this big measure of grain and had her head bowed. And Naomi didn't recognize her until she set the grain down and raised her head. Verse 17, and she said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave me, because he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed,'" 7387, "to your mother-in-law." Verse 18, then she replied, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will fall." 5307, and that's sort of like, this matter will be resolved. "Because the man will not rest," 8252, "until he has settled," 3615, "the matter today." And that ends chapter 3. So what's going on? Naomi is plotting to marry Ruth to Boaz as a kinsman redeemer. All goes well, and Boaz is very interested, as Ruth has shown herself to be a wise and industrious woman. And Boaz realizes that a kinsman must raise up seed for the dead to secure the family inheritance. He is aware of the levirate law, and is willing to do this because he's seen this woman working. He's seen this woman be charitable and helpful to her mother-in-law, where the other woman, the other daughter, stayed back in Moab. So this impressed him very much, and she must have been quite a looker too. So this unfolds the rest of the time in chapter 4. Let me get a head of iced tea here. Yes. So let's start with verse 1 of chapter 4. Then Boaz went to the city gate and sat down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke passed through, to whom he said, "Ho, such a one." That's 6423 and 492. No name is given here, by the way. His name is not mentioned in the book. "Turn aside and sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. Verse 2, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." And they sat down. Verse 3, and he said to the kinsman, "Naomi, that has returned from the country of Moab, sells 4376 a plot 2513 of land which was our kinsman Elimelech's. And this plot of land can only be sold to tribal blood kindred, because it can't go out of the tribe. That's forbidden." Verse 4, And I said in my heart to disclose to your ear, that disclose is 1540, to tell, report, saying, by 7069, before the inhabitants, 3427, and before the elders of my people, if will redeem as a kinsman, 1350, redeem. But if you will not redeem, tell me so that I may know, for none may redeem except 2108, you. And I am behind you. In other words, I'm next in line. And he replied, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must buy also from Ruth the Moabite, the wife of the dead, 4191, to cause to stand, 6965, the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Verse 6. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I spoil, 7843, my own inheritance. Redeem, 1350, my right of redemption, 1353, to yourself, for I cannot redeem. Verse 7. Now this was the manner before times in Israel concerning the right of redemption and concerning exchanging. 8545. For to confirm, that means cause to stand, 6965, all matters. A man drew off, 8025, his shoe, 5275, and gave it to his neighbor. And this was an attestation, 8584, in Israel. Now, verses 7 and 8, you can reference Deuteronomy 25, verses 7 through 10. Verse 8, therefore the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he drew off his shoe. Verse 9. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses, 5707, today, that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Kilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Verse 10, and you can reference verse 10 in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, I have acquired, 7069, to be my wife, to cause to stand the name of the dead upon his inheritance, so that the name of the dead not be cut off, 3772, from among his kinsmen and from the gate of this place. You witness today. Okay, this is a very big deal back then. Verse 11 of chapter 4. Let me get another little hit of iced tea. Get a little scratchy. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we witness, Yahweh make the woman that has come into your house like Rachel. That's Rachel. 7354. And like Leah. 3812. Which two did build, 1129, the house of Israel and do worthily, 2428, in Ephratah, 672. This is the place in Bethlehem where Rachel was buried. And be famous in Bethlehem. Now, verse 11, you can reference Genesis chapter 29, verse 31. Verse 12. And let your house be like the house of Perez. 6557. It's Perez in the English, which is incorrect. Whom Tamar, 8559, bore to Yehuda of the descendants, 2233. That's the seed line which Yahweh shall give you from this young woman, 5291. Yahweh's hand is in this. He is going to marry this young Israelite woman that had been living in the land of Moab, former land of Moab, occupied territory. And this man is very important. Boaz is a prince of Israel and is in the direct line of King David, Dawid, properly pronounced, and of our Messiah. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and he went in, 935, to her, 413, and Yahweh gave her conception, 2032, and she bore a son. In other words, he went into her chamber and consummated the marriage. That's what they say, went in unto her. That's how they say it in the Hebrew. Verse 14, and the women said to Naomi, blessed be Yahweh, which has not failed, 7673, you this day without a kinsman redeemer, that his name may be proclaimed, called out, 7121, in Israel. It's called out. The child's name will be called out, not Yahweh's, as a replacement for her sons. Verse 15, and he shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher, 3557, of your old age, 7872, because your daughter-in-law, which loves you, which is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Verse 16, and Naomi took the male child, 3206, and laid it, 7896, in her bosom, 2436. Now, bosom here is not the female breast. That is inside the shirt at the waist. She tucked him in, was carrying him around. She was grandma, and became nurturer, 539, and that is as a caregiver, not a wet nurse, and became a nurturer to it. And her neighbor women, 7934, called it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed 5:7-4. He is the father of Yishai, that's Jesse, 3:4-4:8, the father of David, 17:32, that's David, King David. Okay, that's the bloodline from this Israelite woman. She is not a racial Moabite. That is a lie of the devil. Verse 18. Now these are the genealogical records, 8:4-3:5, of Peretz. That's the son of Yehuda by Tamar. He was the firstborn. He also had Zerach. Peretz begot Chetzron, 2:6-9:6. Verse 19. And Chetzron begot Ram, 74:10. And Ram begot Aminadab, 5:9-9:2. Verse 20. And Aminadab begot Nachshon, 5:1-7:7. And Nachshon begot Salma, 8:0-0:9. Verse 21. And Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Yishai, and Yishai begot David. There it goes, right to King David. No ifs, no ands, no buts. And I remind you of Deuteronomy verse 23:2. Shall not come a Mamzer, 4:4-6:4, into the congregation of Yahweh, even unto the generation of the tenth, shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh. And a Mamzer is a mixed breed or a mongrel. This prince of Israel would not marry outside his racial demographic. He married an Israelite woman. He did not marry a racial Moabite. There has been a deliberate attempt by the enemy of Israel to sully the name of Yeshua Messiah. They have lied. They are very subtle. They have twisted words. They have twisted translations. This is all part of their infernal plan to deny, continue to deny, that Yeshua was the Redeemer of Israel. Well, he wasn't even an Israelite. He was part Moabite and he had a whore in his background. That's what they say. But there is enough text still in existence to refute their lies. Now, you won't hear a translation of Ruth in your Judeo-Christian churches like this. The Levirate law was obeyed, and Boaz got children for Naomi's old age. And she must have been a doting grandmother. And an interesting note, as Tamar bore Peretz to Yehuda under Levirate law. Same thing that Tamar did with Yehuda. She was more righteous than Yehuda. And Salmon was a prince of Yehuda, married Rahab. the one I just talked about, the innkeeper from Jericho, as seen in Joshua 2, verses 1 through 21. A prince of Yehuda, royalty. Royalty would not marry a whore. Come on, people. Does a ton of bricks have to fall on you to see these lies that they've been telling? Solomon was a prince. He was royalty. And he married Rahab. And they changed the wording to make her a harlot. Well, the book of Josephus refutes that, says she was an innkeeper. She was living there with her parents and her family, and she's going to do whoredom in her father's house? I don't think so. The way it turned out here, Boaz and Ruth were Dawid's great-grandparents. And in direct lineage of Yeshua Messiah. Yahweh is in control here. And Yahweh would never allow a racial Moabite in the Messiah's lineage. His hand was in this. These people just... Their lies are so easily exposed when one researches. If you really look for the truth, you're going to find it. The enemy has claimed to be Israel. Now, they have done this by the power of their money, which they gain by usury and dishonest business practices. They have bombarded people by the news media, which they own, by the movie industry, which they own, by on radio, they own pretty much the radio stations. Magazines, print media, television, Talmud vision, rather. They have infiltrated the seminaries as they infiltrated the Aharonic priesthood and slew all the actual line of descent of Aharon, so they are no longer in existence, and the Levitical priesthood was made of no effect and done away with, and Yeshua replaced it with the order of Melchizedek, and that means Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, and he was and is and always will be the King of Righteousness. Our King, Israel, our Redeemer. And he took it away from the Edomite priests under Herod. There has been a concerted effort over time via their monetary system to destroy this lineage by lies. And I am pleased to be fortunate enough to bring the truth to you. Now, the book of Ruth, in my translation, has been out for a while. Eli has read it and explained it with my notes at a number of gatherings. Yahweh is blessing me right now. I'm not coughing severely. I have been lately afflicted, and I have prayed for his healing hand. I'm taking fenugreek and thyme, which clears a lot of that up, and I'm drinking without any even a, you know, agave, just straight tea with no sweetener. I've laid off the coffee for a while. I've been drinking orange juice, good fruit juice, raw orange juice, no sweetener, and it has helped me. So I am able to continue this series. We are going to be going into tomorrow the book of 1 Samuel. Now, 1 and 2 Samuel all were one book until the year 1517, when the Hebrew Bible was published. This change into two separate books was influenced by the Church of Rome, and actually is another wrongful modification of Scripture. I was going to recombine them, but decided it would cause unnecessary confusion for those trying to reference this text from other versions of the Bible that are now in print. So I will be doing 1 Samuel and then 2 Samuel. Samuel is the last of the Shofatim in Israel. That's the last of the judges. He bridges the gap between the judges, which we just finished the other day, and kings. Yahweh was always king in Israel. But Israel strayed and decided that they wanted a king like the other nations around them. And the other nations around them did not worship Yahweh. They were Baal worshipers and Molech worshipers and Chemosh and just a bunch of these horrible pagan gods with horrible practices. And that's why Yahweh wanted them destroyed, because of their foul practices that they did. Some of their practices are still going on today. There are all these children that are kidnapped and just disappear. There is a great suspicion that this is for child sacrifice. There is documentation that in Orthodox Jewry, they drink the blood of children. It's part of the Talmud, which is what they use instead of the Torah. Oh, that's not true. Yeah, I'm sorry, but it is. You're talking about the physical seed line of the devil here. In the book of John, chapter 8, Yeshua identifies them. They admit in the Jewish encyclopedia and in their publications that they are descended of Edom. And Edom has always hated Jacob Israel. They still hate us today. And they are relentless in their pursuit of our destruction. They own all the media, they own all the banks, they own all these large corporations that are in our government. They have infiltrated and infested and infected everything. They're in the seminary schools teaching these so-called Christian ministers. But what they are teaching is Talmudic studies with the law of the Talmud, which is what they use. A lot of the teaching of the so-called Christian churches today teach paganism. They teach Christmas and Easter. They are both pagan holidays. Christmas is not the birthday of Yeshua, the Messiah. And Easter is Ishtar Sunday for the pagan goddess of fertility. And was not when Yeshua rose from his grave and took up his body again after Passover. That is incorrect. That is a lie. They were arbitrarily imposed by the Romish church. And these churches say they are Protestant and are protesting. I don't see any protest. They are following Rome step for step. Even the days of the week are pagan names. Sunday for the day of the sun. Monday is Moon's Day for moon worshipers and the host of heaven. Tuesday is Taya's Day. It's a Norse pagan god. Wednesday is Woden's Day. That's Odin. Okay, that's pagan. Thursday is Thor's Day for the pagan god Thor. Friday is Freya's Day, another pagan god. And Saturday is Saturn's Day for the god Saturn. Or Shatter's Day for the goat demons that they were worshiping, the half-man, half-goat, Bacchanalia, sex. That's all it's about. Sex and child sacrifice. These people sacrifice children. Drank their blood. And all these children are missing. And in the Talmudic ritual, they drink the blood of children. I told you, it's satanic. It is not the Torah of Yahweh. It is not Yahweh's laws. It is a satanic book from Babylon. The Babylonish gods. And these people are teaching your pastors in your Judeo-Christian churches because they have infiltrated the seminaries, as I said. And they're teaching Talmudic Christianity, quote unquote. What fellowship has light with darkness? You can't Christianize pagan holidays. Oh, but it's fun for the children. Let me ask you a question. Is teaching your little children paganism good for them? Is that good for their immortal soul? You going to go along with the herd and have your children observe pagan rites? Israel, you as Israelites are responsible for your children's upbringing. And if you allow these pagan holidays in your life, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, what is going to be the future of your children? What are they going to carry with them into adulthood? Are they going to know the truth and carry the truth and live a true Israelite lifestyle according to Yahweh's laws, or are they going to follow the herd in paganism as the rest of society is doing? What are you doing to your children, Israelites? What are you doing to them? What fate are you pointing them towards? There's going to be an answering for all of this. There will be a reckoning, and there will be punishment. Now, I don't like to rail. It really doesn't do any good. I get very angry when I see the damage that is being done to our people. And I keep hearing these Judeo-Christian churches say, oh, we are New Testament Christians. All of that stuff is nailed to the cross. Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He also said quite clearly, I come not except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you're sitting in a Judeo-Christian church with mixed couples. I'm going to read this again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you, he's speaking to Christian Israel, verse 7, and to give you who are afflicted rest with us when the Master Yahshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. These are killer angels, folks. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim, and on those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yahshua Messiah. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength. Verse 10, when he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones, that is those who are true believers and followers of his teachings, not just people that say, oh, I believe, and then don't do it. And to be admired among all those who believe in that day, because our witness to you was believed. This is not warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely. This is wrath of Yahweh time. It's going to be very ugly. It's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a lot of destruction and a lot of death. And those who worship in a pagan manner are going to be destroyed. That's not a threat, that's a promise. If you're doing pagan worship, you are an enemy of Yahweh. I mean, to be part of a herd or a social club or a cult or whatever you want to call these Judeo-Christian churches, is that worth not only your life, but your immortal soul? Can you not trust in Yahweh and Yahshua and obey Yahweh's laws and put aside these pagan idols that you have in your heart? Because that's where they are. They're in your heart. You're following all these false teachings. The reason Yahshua came was to redeem you from all these idols that we were worshiping back then. And now, because we're new Israelites born recently, we need to make a covenant with him to be redeemed. And the first key to that covenant is repentance. And repentance isn't just saying, I'm sorry. It's saying, I'm sorry, and then doing something about it. Repentance requires action on the part of the repenter. The repenter has to change his ways. If you don't change your ways and you don't come out of the pagan, false Christianity churches, Talmud Christianity, you're going to be subject to this judgment. And at that point, when he comes back, the grace period, the period of forgiveness, the period of the covering over of the sins, will stop. It will end. And there will be no more redemption. And if you are not on Yahweh's side, then you are the enemy. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you'll be sorry then, but then it will be too late. It's going to be too late if you don't change now. We don't know when he's coming back. I don't know. Yahweh wouldn't even reveal it to Yahshua. He said, only the Father knows. It will be on his time schedule. And we know the full tribulation is coming. And that most important preparedness you can do is spiritual preparedness to meet our Redeemer when he returns for us. You can have all the guns that you want, but they're not going to help you. If you don't have the protection of Yahweh, if you're not known as his, you will not receive his protection. Just plain and simple. I don't want that for you. I surely don't want it for you. It grieves me to think that I'm going to have brothers and sisters that are going to be condemned. That upsets me very, very much. And the Judeo-Christians will be our enemies. They hate us. They hate the truth. They want to go along with their cult, which is controlled by the Jews. And they will kill us all the day long and think they do God a service. And that, you know, it's all in the scriptures. Never in history have we had all these disasters simultaneously, okay? We've had them, but we haven't had them all at once. All we've had earthquakes, we've had volcanoes, we've had storms, we've had floods, we've had fires, we've had tsunamis, we've had wars and rumors of wars. But never, ever, all at once. Never all at once. We'd have sporadic incidents of two or three things. But everything's going on simultaneously now. Got tremendous earthquakes all over. Got tsunamis. We got fires. We've got volcanic activity. We've got riots in the streets here in the United States and Great Britain and France and Germany. We've got wars for profit all over the Middle East. We've got wars in the Philippines. They're fighting each other over there. We've got plagues, we've got AIDS, we've got open sodomites, lesbians and queers. They've taken God out of the schools, not allowed to pray, not allowed to have the Ten Commandments on public property, you're not allowed, you're not allowed, you're not allowed, you're not allowed. They've been stripping the rights from the people in America a little bit at a time for a long time. Freedom of speech is definitely in peril. They can't have the truth be told. They just can't have that. It's all coming down at once. What can I say? Don't say I didn't warn you. When you hear the word, you can't unhear it. Teach your children the scriptures. Get them away from the video games. Turn off the Talmud vision. Get rid of it. Oh, but the kids, they're your kids. They're kids. They're children. You raise them. You don't let them grow up like weeds. Man up. Pull them out of that public fool system and teach them at home. Because they're not learning anything except to be little wiggers anyway. Well, I'll get into 1 Samuel tomorrow on Thursday. And I wish you peace. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. And may Yahweh bless this week. And keep you safe. Praise Yahweh and may His will be done. Talk to you later.